myself. No, what an awesome Sunday. Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord? I trust that you're experiencing the great joy of your own salvation. Or if you're not following Jesus, that you're actually really just considering, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And I hope that I can help you just flesh out that thought just a little bit longer. And for those that are following Jesus, I trust that this will be a great challenge for you this morning. I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you so much for today. I praise you, Lord Jesus, for all the moments of the service so far. Lord, I pray right now that we would experience your hand reaching out to us again and just touching our soul. Lord, I pray that you would stir within the thoughts and emotions within us in these moments, and may your word, may it pierce through, and may we see you clearly today. And we put this into your hands. Speak to us in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. If I was to say to you what is the most important piece of information you need to know, I wonder what you would say. It's interesting, the longer we live, the more we get to know. The more we experience, the more we learn, the more information we glean. Some of us, we receive information and we don't agree with it, we put it that way. We don't like it, so we turn away from it. We think that it's nonsense, so we don't believe it. But there are some pieces of information that you believe because it shapes your thinking and behavior and emotions. And so if I was to say to you, what is the most important piece of information you need to know in life, what would that be? For me, the most important piece of knowledge that anybody could know is this, that Jesus lives and loves you. When I was thinking about this message, I was in my backyard and I didn't know where it was going to go. I was having a coffee and I was like, Lord, what are we doing? And I just heard the Spirit put in my mind that statement. The most important piece of knowledge that you need to know in life is this, that Jesus lives and he loves you. And when a person allows this truth to sink into your mind, when you allow this truth to sink into your heart, into your very consciousness, there becomes a freedom in your soul, in a world that's groaning, in our lives that are struggling at times. When you allow this piece of information, this knowledge, this truth to sink into your soul, it actually brings freedom. Why? Because this truth is accompanied by a very, very powerful force. It's a force of love and hope. It's the very force that sculpted the universe together. And so when you allow this reality of Jesus lives and loves you to sink into your soul and you believe it, that is also accompanied with a power much greater than ourselves. And that power does have a name. His name is Jesus. And Jesus has gone to great lengths to bring freedom to our very being. He's gone to great lengths. In fact, he lived a life that we can't. He lived a life of perfection. I just encourage anybody, no matter how long you've been following Jesus, continue to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do you want to know if God exists? Well, creation reveals the knowledge of God, but just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You want to know if God exists? He does. Jesus. Look at his life. Look at what he says. Look at how he responds. Look at Jesus, and you will see God. And if you were to do that in those moments, you'll also notice that Jesus lived a life of perfection that we can't. God wants 10 out of 10 perfection if you have relationship with him. But nobody's perfect. Jesus lived a life that we can't. But he died a death in our place. See, we all turn away from God. We all rebel against him. The Bible calls it sin. Basically, we say, God, I know best and I'll live life my own way. Richard shared so much of that in his own testimony about living life his own way. And it brought this existential angst where he got to a point where it's like, well, my own way does not bring fulfillment and meaning and purpose. And so he actually turned to this Jesus. And so Jesus, when he was on the cross, he bled and he died and he was restless on the cross so that we can find rest in Jesus. When he was on that cross, he took the punishment that you and I deserve and he entered into the darkness of death, but it didn't stay in that grave. We know he's alive. We believe it because Jesus lives and he loves you. And when we actually cry out to Jesus and say, forgive me for my sin, Jesus, I want to follow you, it's at that moment that Jesus then invites you to become his disciple because he wants you to flourish in life. Here at CBC, our vision is freedom in Christ. That's our vision. And God seems to give us our next freedom steps, which is this year being freedom to flourish. And it's really about the power of God at work in the life of a disciple. When we put faith into action, we actually then get to flourish. See, being a follower of Jesus, it's not just sitting around believing truth. It's putting action into what we believe. That's how the flourishing happens. It doesn't just happen because God takes us to like a spiritual daycare and gives us this spiritual massage and makeover. There is part of that, but that's not the sum total of following Jesus. Following Jesus is costly. Following Jesus is hard. Following Jesus will involve suffering. But in that challenge, you find life in Christ. And God wants us to flourish. And that only happens when we put our faith into action. I've used this before. Just consider a nice juicy piece of fruit because I really love eating fruit. I always get so disappointed when the fruit looks so good and you know it's going to be like a 9 out of 10 apple and I might rate them. And there's a whole rating system I have for fruit. And you just take that bite and it doesn't crunch, your teeth sink. You know that moment where you go from expectation of this looks like a nice piece of fruit to then, oh my gosh. But I live in denial, so I'll go back for the second bite, just thinking that it won't be flowery, and then, it's gone. Yeah, sometimes life can look a little bit like that. If you aren't following Jesus, you know, you can put on a nice show where on the outside you look really good, but inside, maybe your soul's a little bit like a flowery apple, and you're not quite sure what to do with it. And you're trying to fix it yourself, but you know you just can't. And Richard's testimony is really about that. But also as disciples of Jesus, we can go through the motions of being a Christian. Sure, you can go into a life group, a huddle, you can come here on a Sunday, you can go through the motions, but maybe in your fellowship of Jesus, it's really flowery on the inside because you're just not letting Jesus in to those painful areas of your soul. That's why we want to do emotionally healthy discipleship. I really hope you take that seriously. You've got to let Jesus into your soul so that he can do his best work. But yes, it's painful, but in order for you to flourish, God is going to ask you to put your faith into action, like real action, in our behavior, in the way we spend our money, in where we spend our time, in how we push aside our needs for the sake of another, how you forgive somebody. Oh, it's a costly road to follow Jesus, but it's the only road to flourishing and life. Jesus said this, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What that means is that you can hide the inside, but you can't hide it from God, and eventually it just comes out. It comes out in your behavior in the end. So you may be flowery on the inside, and you know what, just stop putting all that energy in keeping up appearances. You don't need to do that anymore. It's too much energy. Just let go and let God in. He's going to do a great and powerful work, but just let him in. Jesus said this in the parable of the sower. I love this little story because it's very familiar to many of us. But Jesus talked about a farmer that sowed seed, and the seed was really just like about a disciple. It's like the word of God in our soul. A seed represented somebody that wants to follow Jesus. And he gave some scenarios. That seed went on path and on rocks and amongst thorns, and none of them flourished on the path. Nothing flourished amongst the thorns. Nothing flourished on the rocks. In fact, what Jesus said is that really, that's the worries of this life and suffering and wealth and evil. It all stopped a disciple from flourishing. But then Jesus talked about the fourth seed that went into the good soil. And the seed that went into the good soil actually did flourish. And this is what Jesus said. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. This is the art of flourishing. Can you see those words? We hear the word of God. We remember the teachings of Jesus. Let's just start there. We remember the teachings of Jesus, and then do what? By persevering, you do the word. When you live out the teachings of Jesus, you will flourish. You ignore the teachings of Jesus, you won't flourish. That's what Jesus is saying. You hear the word, you remember the word, and by doing the word, Jesus says that you'll flourish. But doing the very teachings of Jesus is really costly. It'll cost you everything. But you'll gain life in all its abundance. So the key for us is to release our faith with action. Release our faith with action. It is the essence and the key to flourishing. In fact, James, Jesus' brother, he said this. He said, be a doer of the word. He also said, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by actions, is a dead faith. I will show you my faith by what I do. It's about putting faith into action. That is how flourishing unfolds. That's really this picture. There's two ways that we can go, either in life or as a disciple of Jesus. We can either become like a wilting plant, or we can become like a flourishing shrub that grows into a great big tree. You see, we will actually wilt if we don't apply the teachings of Jesus. And life is a precious gift. And much of the world, I just think, is really got this precious gift of life, but is not flourishing because you're not following the teachings of Jesus. But the plant that is flourishing and blooming is the plant that will hear the word of God, will remember the teachings of Jesus, and by persevering will do the teachings of Jesus. Hey, that may sound so simple, but what I've come to know about Jesus is that, yeah, it's easy to understand, but it costs you your life to live out. That's why this year what we're really encouraging is that we would be with Jesus. We would be like Jesus, and that we would do what Jesus did, because flourishing is a process. For that plant to flourish, it's a process. It doesn't just happen. It needs sunlight. It needs oxygen. It needs nutrients. It needs safety. If a plant is going to flourish, it flourishes through a process. If we're going to flourish as a disciple of Jesus, then it's also a process. It's a process of being with Jesus. That's the next slide. It's the process of being with Jesus, and the one after that. Enjoying his presence, praying, exploring who he is in community with other disciples or just with you and Jesus, going on a prayer walk, whatever it may be, being in creation, receiving his beauty. It is about being with Jesus. Because when you know his presence, you experience his peace. And when you experience his peace, it moves you to praise. And when you praise his name, he gives you joy in return. And when you taste and see that God is good, and you know Jesus loves you because he lives, then you want to become like him. So how do you become like him? Well, you've got to get to know him. How do you get to know Jesus? Oh, every day, we're in the Gospels, reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is the most important thing that you need to do each week. Read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You've got to get to know him. Because once you get to know him, then you want to start to do what Jesus did. So when somebody abuses you, Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Wow, that's really hard. We want to stand up for ourselves, for sure. Nobody is a doormat. We have dignity. We don't just allow ourselves to be abused. No, we see the right people when we need to. But the reason why I say that verse is because that's really hard to live out. Turn the other cheek. But you want to become like Jesus. You want to do what he does and did because you spend time with him. This is the process of flourishing. We want to spend time with him. Then we want to get to know him. Then we want to do what Jesus did. And that's a church on fire. That's a church on fire. That's a life that will flourish. And as you see, a lot of what we're trying to communicate in this next image, we want to grow Jesus' way. We want to grow Jesus' way. That's the only way to actually grow. If you want to flourish in life, we grow Jesus' way. In fact, flourishing is all through the Bible. In Psalm 52, verse 8, we read, "I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever." And Psalm 92, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God." So what does it look like? I want to encourage you. I know it's hard for you online if you haven't actually been to CBC, but all around CBC, there are some of these incredible flourishing posters. Posters. It just says, "Dare I," and in the bottom it just says, "Dare you." You have a look at some of these posters. I think they're incredible. "Dare I." Oh, go back to that one, first one. "Grab life with both hands. Be humble often. Never stop caring. Experience grace. Know who God wants me to be. Let God stretch me spiritually." It's about putting faith in action. Flourishing is a process. And the next one of the, these are not all of them. These are just some of them. "Inspire those around me. Show patience. Have people look up to me. Be a greater dad. Be Jesus to my kids. Look up to my heavenly Father." There's a poster that represents lots of different life stages. "Push things harder. Trust others. Need others. Never stop trying. Let God grow me emotionally. Be more like Christ." Wow, that's a life commitment, that last one. And so I've been really inspired by what we've been doing, and this is the process that I'm on to flourish as a disciple of Jesus. I want to listen to the Word of God. I want to remember the Word of God. I want to do the Word of God. And in doing so, I will flourish. But this is more personal to me. I want to call on the name of Jesus in the silence of the morning. Praise his name and receive his joy. Look at creation and receive its beauty. Read his word and experience his peace. Be mentored and held accountable. Exercise my body and feel his pleasure. Respect my day off and find and invest into a friendship. Reach out to be the hands and feet and mouth of Jesus. This is a rhythm in my life. And I can honestly say, man, I'm loving it. It's bringing a flourishing in my discipleship as well. What would yours read? I encourage you to go home and write out your own script of flourishing. What does flourishing look like for you? If you take this seriously and embrace this process, wow, God is going to do something new and fresh in your life. I want to come back though and finish here to how we started. The most important piece of knowledge that you could ever have is that Jesus lives and loves you. I want to give you an opportunity to reach out to Jesus afresh today. Maybe you've been following Jesus for quite some time, but you feel like that wilting plant. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is like the water, is like the breath, is like the nutrients, is like the protection that can bring a wilting plant into a flourishing one. So you may feel like in your discipleship of Jesus that you are wilting right now, but it doesn't have to be that way. Just reach out to Jesus again. Jesus lives and he loves you. Maybe you have not yet followed Jesus. Maybe you're feeling a stirring today through the baptism, through all the different elements. I don't know. Maybe it's got nothing to do with church today, but there is a stirring. There is an ache. Don't ignore that ache. That ache is God saying, "I want you because I love you." I'd love to give you an opportunity to reach out to Jesus today. I'm just going to pray, and I'd love to lead you in a prayer. And if that's something you'd want to do today, then just in the quietness of your own mind, just pray along with me. And know that these are moments that go beyond the physical and they pierce into the spiritual. And the reality is that the very hand of Jesus is already just there. Like the hand of Jesus is right there in front of you. It's the day of salvation, but that's going to end one day, that moment. Jesus is going to come again. And if you don't follow Jesus in this life, then that hand won't be there for you. But right now, it's the day of salvation, so the hand of Jesus is right there. All you've got to do is reach out and grab hold of it by faith. And the wonderful gift of salvation is that Jesus won't let you go. But you've got to have the faith to just reach out and grab hold of. I did it when I was 19. And I'm here today very passionate about Jesus. You grab hold of Jesus, he won't let you go. His hand's right there. But it won't always be. Grab hold of it today. Don't delay. Why don't you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you for these moments that we just acknowledge that we are very mortal. And every breath we take is one more breath closer to our last. We don't always think like that, Jesus, but we understand that we're mortal. And I thank you for this wonderful knowledge, the greatest knowledge, that you live and that, Jesus, you love us. I thank you, Jesus, that your hand has already reached out to us and it's right in front of us. Lord, I pray that we would have enough faith to just reach out and grab a hold of you today. I thank you, Lord, that you desire for us to flourish in life. And you call us onto a wild journey that takes suffering and tears and heartache and a struggle, and yet we find life in the suffering for you. But today, Jesus, we want to reach out to you again. If you want to reach out to Jesus, just pray with me. Jesus, I'm reaching out for you. Forgive me, Jesus, for my sin. I'm sorry. Jesus, I want to follow you. Come into my life. I want to flourish. Jesus, I need you. Lord, I thank you for each of us today that have just reached out to grab your hand. Thank you that when you grab hold of us, nothing can separate us from your love. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you'd be rushing into our souls for those that have reached out to you afresh. And you can, Lord Jesus, bring life to our weary soul. You can take a plant that is just wilting and dying, and you can turn it around, because you are the God of miracles. Lord, I thank you for this day. May the joy of what it is to be safe in your hands, may it cause dancing and laughter and joy, even in the face of struggle. We thank you, Jesus. Hold on to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close our service with this song, can I just encourage you to chat with somebody that you trust? If you reached out to Jesus today, I'd love to start a conversation with you, but maybe it's really more appropriate for you to chat to somebody that you trust that does follow Jesus. If you've reached out for Jesus again, chat to someone. I'd love to chat with you. Pastor Sam would. Let's worship as we close.